Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Bro, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week. So
oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Welcome back to the pod, and welcome to week 6. We are inching our way to about being halfway done with the 2019 fantasy season. I hate writing that and saying that, but it's the Semi-Products Fantasy Football League, and we are starting to break away here in the standings into two main groups. You got two undefeated teams, which is something we normally don't see this late into the year in our league, and then we've got the real wild stuff. 5 teams at 3-2, 5 teams at 1-4. Already the importance of points scored is just becoming a huge factor, and here with us this week to talk about all of these important matchups, one of those 5-0 teams and one of the last team owners as well to make it onto the pod this year, it's Luke, Team DeOcean Jackson. Welcome to the pod, Luke. It's been like a year. How's it been?
I know. It has been a while. I'm pretty excited to see if we can do all of these matchups, just the two of us. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, another big six-pack week or something like that for the two of us, because apparently everybody's busy and has lives or something. I don't know. It's dumb. You and Duncan are the two undefeated teams, and we're going to talk about everybody, so we're, of course, going to talk about Duncan. Also, the two of you are the only two people to not be on the pod this year. Duncan didn't tell me, but it was kind of implied he didn't want to be on basically until he loses, just so he can't blame the pod. But is there any worry in the back of your mind that there is a pod appearance jinx that's going to come and you're risking perfection by coming on today?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it, but now I definitely am hearing that. I forgot that Duncan hasn't been on yet, or the two undefeated. That's pretty, it's pretty wild. I'm hoping that I don't get your bad juju that you're rubbing off.
It's just general negativity is just kind of my whole aura that I put out all the time, and it eventually rubs off on people.
Exactly. It's rubbing off on everyone so far.
And I guess outside of your perfect season so far, you've been wedding planning and driving around and having cake and looking at buildings and things. Have you hired somebody secretly to run your fantasy team to being 5-0, or are you just actually two different people?
Yeah, actually, Katie's just the fantasy guru behind all this.
So you've been wedding planning and she's been doing fantasy. Is she feeding you all your lines?
I've been looking up all the photographers, and she's been looking up the waiver wire.
That's great. Oh boy,
so funny.
So I'm just gonna keep mentioning that you're 5-0 and that you're perfect pretty much the whole pod tonight, just so that way at one point or another I've probably jinxed this enough, and you know, you don't have to worry about being on the pod being the reason that it was jinxed, but just I've talked about it a whole bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, it just, you know, just so I'm up front about it. But yeah, like you said, we got to go over all 6 matchups. So let's jump into them. Starting with Fronik, who is 3-2, taking on Jared, 1-4, the Eifert Tower versus Jay Mena Feely. Fronik had quite the fall from grace from his high score of the week right into his smelly butt team of the week. Wait for it.
Smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt.
Smelly butt.
Smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt.
Yuck, that's one smelly butt. Your team sucks.
Leonard Fournette was his high scorer of the week with 26.9% of his team's points. He fell victim to injuries. He lost Wayne Gallman. And his wide receivers, who last week put up 18 points, they got worse, and they put up 14.7. That's a big oof. Jared dropped to 1-4 with a tight loss to Mike, and he's got another Plaxico as well, leaving 22 on his bench from Mr. 2L's Philip Lindsay. This week, Jared finally survives his David Montgomery problem because the Bears are on a bye, and Fronik continues to stash running backs while being one of the most desperate people on the planet for a wide receiver. What exactly can Fronik do about having one of the worst wide receiver cores we've ever seen?
Yeah, that is. He's had quite an unfortunate season, but also the way he's handling it has, I think, has been pretty interesting. Like you said, he keeps stacking more and more injured players on his bench. Like, he picked up Cam Newton, even though he might need a receiver if Kirk is out again. Hawkinson might be out, he's just going all after the playoffs, it looks like. As far as his receivers, you'd think he'd be able to trade one of his running backs I know he tried to do it with Gordon, do a 2-for-1, but maybe he just thinks they'll be able to carry him. I don't know. I feel like I would have traded Eckler while he was the most high, but we'll see.
Yeah, when Gordon says he's going to come back, like, try and flip him for, like, literally anybody, because Eckler's going to go to, a flex play at best. Right? Like, with Gordon coming back, and I know last week he still had like 14 or 15, but those numbers for Gordon are only going to go up, and for him are only going to go down. There's some move here that's got to be made, or somebody's going to have to take a risk for taking a guy that's on IR, but you can't have four guys who are out on your team, and then two other guys who are also probably going to be out, and then be feeling like, yeah, I'm set, it's fine, by week 10, like, I'll turn this around and I'll finish like 10th instead of 12th.
Yeah, that's the part I don't really understand. Like, he's still 3-2, but maybe if he was like 5-0 making these moves. But yeah, I still think Eckler would be solid, but you'd think he'd be able to do like an RB2 for even just a receiver 3. I mean, he's starting pretty much like 3 wide receiver 4s or 5s. He has to start 3 of them.
I think I told him, like I said last week, like, if we were a 14-person league and we had, we still had 3 wide receivers, like, these guys would maybe still are, like, scraping the barrel if you're looking for a wide receiver 3 or a flex. But, like, you can't play all of them and expect somebody to put up points. Like, I kind of get the point that, like, hey, somebody's got to catch the ball in these offenses, but they're all really bad offenses.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going after Miami and the Jets. And ugh. Yeah, I get the Kiki Cutie pickup, but he just isn't that involved. So,
yeah,
it's a tough scene.
A little too, way little too late or something. I don't know. I can't think of the phrase. I've ruined it. On Jared's side, I don't know if he would admit it or not, I would think he's got a pretty big David Montgomery problem. Maybe if the Bears weren't on a bye, he also would have been on the bench, but he is. Philip Lindsay had a really big game last week. I didn't know because I wasn't watching the Chargers-Clippers game, the Chargers-Broncos game. So is Lindsay finally getting to the point where he's like a dependable RB2 or a flex play?
Yeah, my first note is that it seems like he's lucky that Montgomery's on a bye, because I have a segment later, but he has had some serious Montgomery and Philip Lindsay issues. I do think, I hate to say it, but I think Lindsay is just a better running back than our guy Royce. They still seem pretty set on at least having some sort of split, but Lindsay is just so talented. They can't keep him off the field.
Yeah, especially when, like, Montgomery's been playing, like, so much, so obviously worse, too. Like, it's not even like, I'm kind of torn between the two. It's just, I would at this point have absolutely no faith in Montgomery, especially with, although he's been a little up and down, but, like, Lindsay is, getting into the end zone and putting up a ton of yards, and, like, it just makes sense that he should be a regular starter in that lineup.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have been locked in at his wide receiver 2, but or his running back 2, but maybe those first 2 weeks sort of scared him off. I'm not really sure. Montgomery hasn't shown much at all.
Also of note, your favorite player, Jay Ajayi, has been picked up as well. Do you think Jay Ajayi is going to make it into the NFL this year? He says he's ready to play from all of the assortment of injuries he's picked up.
Yeah, I love how his agent keeps pushing that out there. His agent's like texting Shepherd, like, please tweet that Ajayi's ready. Who gives a shit? I mean, if the Giants, all the injuries they've gone through and they're not picking up, he's not going to be on the Giants, that's for sure. But maybe down the line, I'm not quite sure why Jared's holding him, but
I
don't know.
Interesting enough. I also just wanted to say Jay Ajayi because I know you enjoy hearing it.
I was hoping you would.
I mean, this is pretty simple. Like, this is Jared by like a lot here, right? Like, there's no way Fronik can put up another 160 week with this lineup that he's got.
I don't think so. I think the only thing that would maybe change that is David Johnson seems pretty questionable. So if he missed, I guess he could put Kenyon Drake in. It wouldn't be a huge downgrade. But yeah, I have Jared winning this.
Yeah, so do I. I think this is one of the easier picks of the week. Next up, yeah. Scott is 1-4. He's taking on Mike, who is 3-2. N'Keal Prairie versus Ndamukong Suez Canal. Like I mentioned kind of a couple moments ago, Mike had a tight win against Jared last week, surviving with a 0 from Salami Watkins, but got a 44 burger from Run CMC. Scott took another L and has yet to see that big week we've kind of been waiting for from his Mahomes-Kelsey stack. Not a lot of impact players on bye, which is a good thing for a great rivalry week matchup between these two teams, but nothing but pure undrafted hate or unadulterated hate between them. Mike has had a lot of QB struggles. He was going with Big Ben to be his man as he rode him with last year. He's now turned to Gardner Minshew and Randy Dalton. Minshew has gone through and turned DJ Shark into a solid, legit to solid fantasy player, while Minshew is now QB number 11 on the year. So I know it's not segment time, but it works into the matchup here. Minshew, for real or Pharrell?
Sure, seems like he's for real. I don't know what they're going to do when Foles comes back because they gave him so much money, but if he keeps playing like this, I don't know how you bench him. But yeah, I was very skeptical when Mike picked him up after losing Breeze and Big Ben in the same week, but it's worked out so far.
Yeah, it's just really tough because he hasn't put up any like super spectacular numbers, but when a guy is, you know, top 11 or top 12 in the league, and it's a 12-man league, you would think that at the very least makes him startable. You know, he hasn't thrown a pick since week one, so that's pretty big. He's gotten into the end zone a couple times. He's, you know, every week over 200 yards. So it seems more like if Mike was in a slightly better quarterback situation that, like, Minshew would be a good streaming option, but I don't know if he can be legitimately, like, a number one for a team long-term.
Yeah, I feel like he might be, at least for his first year, might be more of just a better real-life player than fantasy, since he has kind of limited weapons and a very run-heavy offense. But
true.
Yeah, I've tried sending Mike trades for Dak or Matt Ryan, but he never responds. So I don't know if he's seeing them or not. But if you want a quarterback, hit me up, Mike.
Fair enough. Stinky Stephon Diggs, why is he so stinky?
Yeah, he's been pretty screwed by the offensive coordinator change in Minnesota. They just run it so often. I saw today actually that Dalvin Cook has more targets than him this year.
Oh no,
which is pretty stupid. But I mean, if there's going to be any week he's going to do well, it should be against Philadelphia. They get absolutely destroyed by wide receivers. So yeah, he can't do well this week. He's in trouble.
Yeah, speaking of wide receivers in the Philly game, Scott's got Alshon Jeffrey, who seems to be back from his injury. He's riding his hero, Larry Fitzgerald, as well. But I think the bigger storyline is that the Chiefs have had two of their own smelly butt performances. Is Houston the team for them to bounce back against here? Are we finally going to get that big week from Mahomes and Kelsey?
You would think so. And what should be a shootout at home, yeah, I think Kelsey has a big day. Assuming Mahomes, I know Mahomes is going to play, but if his ankles injury or is bothering him at all. But I mean, it's crazy. Kelsey's been like pretty quiet, and he just has like 80 yards every week. It's still tight end three. He's just so good.
Yeah, I was looking at his game log. It's ridiculous. He's just like incredibly high volume receptions and yards, and he's just like a couple touchdowns here and away from like actually running away as the number one tight end and making what he was his third round. Was he the third round pick at the turn? Did he go Mahomes, Kelsey back to back or something like that?
He went Mixon, Kelsey.
Oh, Mixon.
First round.
Oh, okay. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you take a guy like Kelsey in the, you know, first, second round at that area or whatever it is, you do kind of expect, you know, to get a top three guy, and that's what he's got. So, really strong team, but I don't know. Both teams don't, I mean, Scott's been really bad. Like, we'll kind of talk about later with your analysis that you've done on all of the stats and points and everything, but Mike's team, I think, is kind of one of those teams that feels like it's really had to scrape together three really hard wins to get where they are. And I don't know, this, I don't think this matchup could go either way. I'm kind of leaning Mike, but I could also see like that Mahomes, the KC stack comes through finally. And we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. I think it, with McCaffrey has been so good. I was looking at his stats. He's averaging 28.8 points a game, which is 6 points higher per game than Dalvin Cook, who's in second.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's insane. But then he's playing Tampa, who's the only team who's slowed him down at all. So I think if McCaffrey can even get held to under like 20, I think Scott has a real chance.
Yeah, I think Mike's got the better running backs, and I guess kind of because Stinky Diggs has been a little stinky, maybe Scott's got the slight edge at wide receiver, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that Scott gets the win here, and both of these guys end up at three, or I guess Scott would be at 2-4, and Mike would be at 3-3. I'm going to go with Scott here. I think we're finally going to get that big Mahomes week that we've kind of been waiting for and that Scott's been waiting for, and I think he's going to get him a win. If he does, it's going to be a close one at that.
Yeah, I like that call. And then real quick, I was looking at the Patriots defense, and they have been insane. They have, so they're averaging, I think, 18.8 points a game.
Oh, God.
Which would make them the running back five and or the wide receiver five. So they're above in points per game, Alvin Kamara, Zeke, David Johnson, Chubb, Saquon. And then for receivers, they're above Keenan Allen, Julio, Hopkins, Davante Adams.
Oh, man.
basically has McCaffrey, who's the number one overall, and then he has the Patriots, who are basically like the number five running back in the NFL.
Wow. I guess that's kind of no wonder that Mike's been surviving for so far. Because, that's great. Like, Jordan last week had 35 points from the Philly defense, and, like, you know, there was four or five guys that all had somebody go over 40 last week, and I think almost all of them won. It makes no sense how, like, these defenses go off like that, and then they provide so much value in adding another, like, flex player to your team, but you can't really, like, predict that they're going to, you know, you can think that the Patriots, with their weak schedule to start the season, are going to be good, but you can't think they're going to be like, oh, this is like getting an RB1 in the 15th round.
Yeah, we knew this was going to happen. They would have gone a lot earlier. Yeah, I mean, their really seasonal schedule could not have gone any better. And then they have the Giants this week without Saquon, Gallman, Ingram, or Shepard on a short week. And then they have the Jets, Cleveland.
Oh, God.
They have eight straight weeks of amazing matchups.
Oh, man. And then at that point, they're just going to get better, and they're just going to start learning from other teams and get stronger because they're the Patriots and they're the fucking worst. God, I hate them. Next up, a real barn burner of a matchup. Tim, who is 1-4 against myself. I'm also 1-4. Craft Bunny Ranch versus the Colossus of Xavier Rhodes. This is a matchup where even the winner is probably still a loser. A big matchup, though, to gain some separation in the mass of 1-4 teams at the bottom of the league. Timmy Two Pints got boat raced last week by you, Luke. He only got 90 points, was really hurting without Davante Adams, and three players on his team scored less than one. Things weren't better for me. I took my fourth straight loss, and it was more of a matter of Jordan's team going off than my team being bad, but my team is also very bad. This week's matchup is one of the tighter ones of the week. I'm just a 1.2 favorite on a week where I finally spent some of my Baha Bucks. Both Tim and I have a QB wide receiver stack this week, all depending on the health of Davante Adams. I'm going to be stressing out all day, all weekend, and through Monday because of it. Which stack here do you think is going to make the biggest difference in the matchup?
Assuming Davante plays, I'm not sure. Hopefully he gets more news because they're playing Monday night. So if he doesn't play, they would be screwed. I think I prefer your stack just in general and this week specifically. And like I said earlier, a shootout against the Chiefs. I like Hopkins to break out finally. And Watson, I mean, he's good every week, so.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a shootout. Last week against Atlanta, they did put up all those points, but all the touchdowns went to Will Fuller because the Falcons just decided not to cover him. I saw one of those GIFs from like the next gen stat, you know, where like everybody's kind of like a bubble kind of thing, and they like track all the players. Yeah, they're so fun to watch. One of them was just like, oh my God, like watch all of these GIFs of teams picking on Isaiah Oliver in cover three. And there's literally a play where Oliver, who's on the defensive right side of the field, tracks, I think it was Hopkins who ran just like a super long, like a 10-yard slant or something like over the middle of the field, super deep, all the way across to the defensive left side. And Isaiah Oliver, and he followed him across the middle all the way over to the right side of the field. And Trufant and the safety, I think Ricardo Allen, they stayed in their lanes like they were supposed to in that defensive scheme. And so Will Fuller was literally wide open with like 25 yards between him and the next closest player. Like their ability to not play defense was so upsetting. And then to have also those points go to not my receiver are equally upsetting.
Yeah, that was so funny. He like, if anyone just runs in front of his face, he's just like, all right, I'm following him. Even though they're like clearly playing like cover four zone, everyone's in their zones, and he's just doing whatever he wants. I would imagine that'd be pretty triggering, especially against the Falcons. But I mean, Hopkins is going to start scoring at some point.
Yeah, he hasn't been bad. He's been a little bit of a letdown just because he hasn't been getting into the end zone, but it's still something I'm used to being, I guess a last year Julio Jones owner. I would think if, you know, the numbers he put up are fine, but if he gets into the end zone, it would be a lot better. I'm not sure what to make of Kansas City's defense because sometimes they're good and other times they're not. If Todd Gurley is gone, Luke gets Kerryon Johnson back from a bye, which is pretty big. James White should still have a really big day, but not a lot of options, it looks like, for Tim on his bench. Who do you think he would go with at flex, assuming the Toad is ruled out?
Yeah, if he's not playing, I would imagine he would just put Kerryon at running back and then play Curtis Samuel at flex. I actually made that note. I think I would play Samuel over DK Metcalf at wide receiver three, but if Cleveland's top two corners are out again, maybe I'd understand it. I mean, Russ is playing unreal, but that Samuel against Tampa matchup is pretty nice, but they're both good options, I think.
Yeah, I just realized as well that's one of those weird 6:30 a.m. specific time games. So Tim's gonna have to make that decision pretty early because, I mean, with the Rams playing late, he's basically gonna be left with being able to move Kerryon Johnson. Maybe that's why he's down at flex, is that gives him like quite literally flexibility in setting his lineup. Kind of doing the same thing with Mercedes Valdez scaffolding in case Brandon Cooks can't go, because I've got, you know, a couple other guys I can move in there by the 1 o'clock window to be able to know what I'm going to do. But If Tim is down, Toad, and then Devontae doesn't come back, which we'll know about more on Thursday. He's going to be down two really big guns. And even with the Toad having a bounce back week, he still hasn't been the Toad.
Yeah, I mean, if he loses both of them, or even one, I think he's in big trouble. And even, I mean, the Niners have been awesome against the run, so I don't think, even if he is healthy, I don't think he would get his normal workload, and I don't know how efficient he would be.
Oh, my goodness. Being upfront with here, I was not as overly prepared as I normally am. Tim has three guys in that Monday night game. I have potentially two. Our defenses are going up against each other on Sunday. We both have a quarterback wide receiver stack, and we're both dealing with some serious injuries at wide receiver. Like, could these two teams be any more mirror images of each other? What the hell, Tim?
Spider-Man. So I had a couple of questions that can you talk me through your Bahubucks bucks? No, you haven't spent any, and then you went kind of wild on some interesting players this week.
I don't know. I was torn between how to spend my Bahubucks because I was paying attention but not paying super close attention the first couple weeks, and I would just look over the wire and guys that are projected a lot, or, you know, I wasn't paying super close attention to injuries or target numbers or anything like that, and I was just kind of like, these are a bunch of guys that I don't really want, like, I don't want to have to even put a buck down. Like, it's just kind of like, I could do without him. I'd rather have the dollar, or I'll wait to see if he clears and I'll just add him later. And I don't know. I was kind of waiting for the right time to start spending. I think with some of the injuries that the Rams went through, I thought Everett would be a good add. I completely fucked up the Browns pick for my defense as the second defense off the board, and the Niners have been so good, and I figured it was time to add them. I actually almost added them on Monday, just kind of for shits and giggles, to drop the Browns defense and start the Niners, so I almost didn't have to spend on them. And then Darius Slayton, I thought maybe would be like a trade piece for somebody if they were super desperate, like a Fronick who needed a wide receiver, and he's going to be a guy who's going to get a lot of targets, and maybe it'll work out. I'm also not super happy with my wide receiver three or flex spots with Didi and Valdez and John Brown. So I don't know. I was just kind of waiting for the right moment, and I probably overspent on a lot of people. Like, I think I was the only person other than Fronick to bid on Darius Slayton. Like, I could have got him for a dollar, and I looked at the auction report too, and Fronick being left with like his like 20 Bahubucks or whatever, he bids like $0 on all of the top people just in case they slip through.
I saw that too.
So I mean, like, at least like he's trying. I don't know. I was probably a little late and a little dumb not adding certain players or paying all that much attention. I also didn't draft prep very well, and I'm kind of paying for that now. So I'm hoping these moves, quite literally, pun intended, they pay off.
Yeah, it was just interesting to see how, I mean, Hooper's been the number one overall tight end, and then you spent 12 Bahubucks on Everett. It just worked out that like three other teams need a starting tight end this week. So you screwed over a bunch of people. And then I was just butthurt that you took the Niners from me. I thought I was way overpaying. I put $6 in.
Yeah, that was the other. Yeah, and I overpaid because I knew I'd gone 5 weeks without spending any money. And so I knew I had a lot to throw around. And I was like, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to do what I did last year, because I spent like a boatload of money to get Austin Eckler for like a week. And then I ran out of money when I could have like picked up Damien Williams last year for the playoff run that almost got Pip the title. So I don't know. I figured later in the year I'll have some money and it'll be left over. Whatever. I might as well just throw my money around. I'm just trying to get to like where I am now, which is in like the 7-8-9 spot or 6-7-8 spot. Excuse me. Just for the playoff bracket, where maybe I sneak into the playoffs, or if I'm just batshit garbage, I'm a high scoring team and I've got a slightly higher seed. Because I really don't want to have to be stuck at the bottom of the constipation bracket.
Yeah, that would be quite stressful, but
I wouldn't
mind watching you stand up.
I've had like weird thoughts of like, would I write a joke about that? Like, how would I make that funny? And then I was just like, no, that's something Jerry Seinfeld would do. And I can't do make fun Jerry Seinfeld because like you guys would laugh at it. And I'd be like, hey, what's the deal with airplane food? And I drove an airplane and I didn't have any snacks. It's just like, I couldn't do that in front of people. That would not go well.
You just did your entire stand-up in that voice.
I did.
I'd have to leave.
That's the thing. It's like
you'd probably get kicked off the stage.
I know. You guys would all laugh, and it would be funny, and I would be laughing, and like I'd have fun, and I'd be hating it. But at the same time, I'd be like, if we went to an actual comedy club, like Scott had to do, like that would not go over well. They would kick me out.
Yeah, they would kick you out. They think you're making a mockery of the joint.
Oh gosh. I'm feeling pretty positive about my team this week. So I am I'm gonna go with myself to get the win. I do agree that my stack should go off. I think Damian Williams should have a big game. And I'm kind of hoping that that'll be enough and maybe some injury bounces go my way. Not that I'm a root for injury guy or anything, but Tim's got a lot of question marks that he's got to deal with. And if he's not going to set his lineup at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, I don't see him being able to move Curtis Samuel in before 6:30 on a Sunday. So maybe something like that will bounce my way. But I'm thinking I can get the win here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Tim's going to be making any moves. I was following his lineup closely last week when I was playing him, and he set his lineup after the waivers and didn't touch it once. So I think this is probably going to be his lineup if I had a guess. But I am also taking you. Are you for sure locked into this lineup, or are you? I saw Chris Thompson. That's a pretty nice matchup. I was just wondering if you were thinking about that. Or,
yeah, I'm.
Waiting to hear about Cooks.
I'm really torn. If Cooks doesn't play, like I'll be able to move him out, and then I'll have to play. Or I guess that would make Valdez my wide receiver two, and then I would maybe go with. Well, at that point, I couldn't play Thompson, and I'd have to go with. I was looking at my lineup and I was thinking like, oh yeah, this gives me a lot of flexibility here by not having Valdez play later or something like that. But now looking at my bench, like everybody plays at 10 o'clock. So I don't really have all that much flex. I'm not really sure what to make of Didi because he's getting some good receptions in and, you know, Scantling on a Monday night is in a good offense that I think should help. And it's just a lot of not great options. And I don't know if Washington is necessarily gonna be using Thompson the same way. He might make it in there. I could just say fuck it and I'm gonna go with a two tight end train. I really don't know.
Yeah, I guess it all just comes down to the Davante Adams news. I would assume we know before Sunday, I would think. But I agree with Thompson. Like it's a dream matchup, but not really for what he does.
Like, right. Yeah. Like I could see like
Peterson.
I could see Peterson going off and then maybe they throw some targets his way or something, or maybe the new head coach is like, hey, yeah, we'll actually throw this guy the ball. Who, you know, figure it out or whatever. I don't know. It's not fun down here, man. It's not fun.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Yeah. I'm going to need it.
When the world seems too heavy to handle, where do you turn? When you run out of hope, how do you get out of bed? When the weight on your shoulders is too much to bear, how can you overcome? Although you may seem isolated in this dark, dark world, I promise you are not alone. Dozens of Americans suffer from the affliction of being a Chargers fan. When life feels like it's moving in reverse, there is hope for you. This is Dr. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif with a breakthrough new treatment for the debilitating burden of being a Chargers fan. New from AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals, you may benefit from being a Chiefs fan. This breakthrough new treatment provides immediate relief for symptoms like being really, really bummed out every weekend and wondering how in the world they could possibly blow it like that. Side effects include racing thoughts, decreased need for sleep, unusual risk-taking behavior, feelings of extreme happiness, blurred vision, joint pain, bone pain, skin pain, brain pain, changes in weight or appetite, nosebleeds, bloody urine, bloody stool, bleeding from your gums, nausea, vomiting, burning in your extremities, burning in your eyes, skin rash, severe blisters, sloughing of your skin, frostbite, impending sense of doom, an erection lasting longer than 4 hours, dry mouth, upset stomach, vivid dreams, and loss of smell. Do not become a Chiefs fan if you are allergic to barbecue or superior quarterback play. Take initiative for your own happiness and take back your weekend. Ask your doctor if becoming a Chiefs fan may be right for you.
And in the second half of our matchups, we start with Andrew, who is 3-2 against Pip, who is also 3-2. We finally get, that's Melvin Ingram versus the Grand Canyon. We finally get to some good teams in this week's matchups, and we're starting off with a couple of hot teams. Pip is on a 3-game winning streak since changing his team's name, and last week a large part because of a 45-burger and 32 from Aaron Jones and DJ Chark. Meanwhile, Andrew lost in the most heartbreaking fashion on Monday night. Kickers actually had a huge impact on a matchup, and it wasn't very fun. Robbie Gould missed two field goals that cost him a total of 8 points, all while seeing Will Fuller V go for 45 on the other side and George Kittle get a touchdown that was quite literally the difference maker. Andrew is hurting with some big time on buys. No Marlon Mack, most importantly. Pip is already a 10-point favorite, and he's sitting the Bears defense there on bye. The biggest game changer looks to be the possible return of Tyreek Hill, although Julian Edelman is also questionable to play. How big of an impact will it have on this matchup if Tyreek does play?
Yeah, I think that would obviously be a nice boost for Pip, and especially against the Texans. But it is nice that, worst case, Tyreek sits out one more week. He still has DeMarcus Robinson in a great matchup. So it would be a nice boost, but he has nice insurance on the bench.
Sorry. I guess that is the kind of the key play. I think another big issue is going to be if Edelman also doesn't play. I'm not sure if the Pats are sitting him as just a precaution because it's a short week kind of thing, or if he's actually hurt. But if he's got to move out Edelman and then he's maybe forced to play Golden Tate, that doesn't seem like the best play. I guess he could move Hollywood Brown up and then some other guys move them around or whatever. But yeah, losing two guys in your lineup that you've really been banking on for the first couple weeks of the year, that they would be your guys and you haven't been able to play them together for one more week of having to deal without them is going to be quite the problem. Also, Kirk Kissin Cousins is getting the start here as well. Pip has also low-key been very struggling with his quarterback situation. He's got Josh Allen, who has a super favorable schedule when he comes back from his bye. But going with Kirk Cousins against a halfway decent Philly team, what do you think of that play there?
Yeah, he's been flip-flopping, more like pip-flopping his quarterbacks, am I right?
Nice.
He's been going on the free agent list with Baker, dropping Baker, picking up Baker again. I could see Cousins having a week like he did last week. I think he's obviously just a streamer with how run heavy they are. But again, the Eagles are a pass funnel defense. They have great run defense and terrible cornerback. So I think he could do worse.
Yeah, I guess there's not a lot of good quarterbacks that are kind of left out there either. Like I've never thought of our league as being the quarterback stashing league or anything like that, and I guess it doesn't help that a lot of, you know, bigger named guys are injured. But I like, what about like a Jimmy Garoppolo? Like the Rams defense is kind of okay. They got torched last week by Russell Wilson, but that was on a short week. You know, Jimmy G kind of made him, or I guess Jimmy G played well against the Browns defense, which is okay. Like, would you think about picking him up, or do you just kind of think, you know, let's go with a more veteran guy with, you know, better wide receiver options and a probably not overall better offense?
Yeah, I think Jimmy's a decent option, but they just lost another one of their tackles, so both of the Niners starting tackles are out.
Nice.
I'm not sure what kind of effect that's going to have. I would probably still roll with Cousins. But then, yeah, having Josh Allen has quite the nice schedule coming up, so I imagine he'll just drop Cousins after the bye.
And then on Andrew's side, like we talked about, he's got Adrian Peterson in at his wide receiver too. Kind of favorable matchup Sunday night with the Clippers at home against the Steelers. Amari Cooper should have a big week as well. And it gets us time to talk about Geronimo Allison, who last week should have had a bigger week with no Devontae Adams in, but both he and Scaffolding combined for 3 receptions as the Packers just went ground pound and Aaron Jones had a big game. If it was the case where Devontae doesn't play, is it going to be another big run-heavy game that's going to favor Pip, or do you think the Packers at home are going to try and spread the ball around a little more?
Yeah, Adams is back. I'm not sure what Andrew would do. I mean, I don't imagine you would start Allison, but he doesn't really have that many options on the bench. Yeah, against Detroit, I imagine Detroit will try to slow it down. So maybe... I guess the first quarter will be big, whoever has the lead first. I think Aaron Jones at this point seems to be matchup proof. But if Adams is out, then it'll obviously be an even more than usual Aaron Jones game.
Right. Pip as well, he dropped Marcus to add Kirk Kissin Cousins, but he keeps Delanie Walker, so I don't know how he can be so pro-Marcus and anti-Marcus at the same time. That really doesn't make any sense. Do you see any better kind of flex plays over Kenny Golladay or Kenny Galway? He had a solid week last week. Boy, the ESPN thing loading up all of this IBM Watson stuff in between the stuff I'm looking for is just so annoying. It's really not helping me out. He's gone for 12, 21, 2, and then 21. So a little touchdown dependent. He's not getting the most targets. He hasn't gotten more than 8, which was one of his bigger weeks of the year. Do you think he's a solid flex play, or do you think he should go with maybe someone else on his – although he doesn't have a lot of options on his bench either now that I'm actually looking at it. So, that's, yeah, I would say Andrew's probably starting his best team here.
Yeah, I think so. If Adams is out or is in, you'd have to think about, I guess, Marquise Goodwin. I'm not quite sure what he would do. But yeah, I like Golladay and the other receiver. Keenan Allen and Cooper, I think, are in absolute smash spots. I think they could both be top 5 running back or receivers this week. And then Kamara, I think, could be the number 1 overall running back this week. So I really like Andrew's stars this week.
Yeah, his team is a 5-point underdog, but he's still Pip has only got a 51% chance to win, which is really interesting because normally when somebody gets above, or they keep these projections like super tight, and so if somebody gets above like 3 or 4 points as kind of a, or I guess 5 or 6, kind of like the area Pip's in, it's like it's 55%. Like we'll really give him a chance, but yeah, Andrew's boom potential this week is just gigantic.
Yeah, even with Mac out, who's been incredible. But Peterson, like we said earlier, is in a great spot. I think they're going to run a lot. Miami is obviously Miami. And that should be a close game, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess to talk actual NFL, W-word, R-word fans and Dolphins fans do in this game with it being a parent of Owen winless teams going at it? Like, are you rooting for a tie? Do you want your team to win? What exactly is the mindset of the W-word, R-word fan?
I would think both teams would, at least the rational ones, would have to be rooting for a loss, I would think. I mean, they could both use, based on how Washington is using Haskins, it seems like they could both use quarterback. So which team would you rather be a fan of?
I'd rather be a Dolphins fan. Straight up. I don't want to have to deal with Dan Snyder or the R-word gear or any of that stuff. Yeah, just get me Miami, get me some Aqua, get me some good-looking throwbacks, and yeah, I'm Dolphins all day.
Yeah, so they're going to have like 2 top 5 picks and then number 20 so far.
Oh, my God, they've got the Steelers pick, too. Holy shit.
Yeah, especially now if Rudolph is out. I mean, yeah, they're going full Sixers.
Oh, my goodness. They could, like, actually come away with, like, quite the haul.
Yeah, they could get, like, Herbert and Judy from Alabama.
Oh, my God. That would be the quickest, like, route from, like, okay, we're going to be really bad. I think we've got this. Yep, we traded with the right team who was garbage at the right time. And then, oh, wow, here we go. We got our star quarterback and his number one target, and we're going to be able to mold them together.
Yeah, they at least be exciting. I mean, now they have not a single exciting player on the entire roster. So they at least be watchable, especially with Herbert.
I think outside of Rosen, Fitzpatrick, and Kenyon Drake, I can't name a single Dolphin.
Devontae Parker, dude, he's been on everyone's fantasy team for at least a week.
Oh, that's very true. I would think, how do you not at least at one point pick up Devontae Parker for a stream? Kenny Stills as well.
He's been the top receiver on the waiver wire every week for the last 5 years.
What an impressive resume.
I know.
All that said, I think I'm going to go with Andrew to get the win here. I think you swayed me over. His big stars this week should have some pretty big games, and the question marks on Pitt's team are really kind of stacking up, and I'm not quite sure if Hill and Edelman don't play, or if one of the two of them don't play, it's going to be kind of tough sledding for the Kenyon.
Yeah, I think Edelman plays and has a big game, but I think DJ Chark, as amazing as he's been, might get locked down. He's probably going to go up against Lattimore. We just shut down Amari Cooper and Mike Evans. So, yeah, I'm leaning Andrew slightly, but if Pip gets Tyreek, that'll be a nice boost.
It will be. That's going to be a lot of fun matchups to wrap up the week here. I did that intentionally. Keep you listening. TSL. Next up, Jordan is 3-2. He's taking on Duncan, another perfect team at 5-0. Unitas Arab Emirates versus Mount Bakers Mayfield. This matchup pits the third and fourth highest scoring teams in the league against each other. Jordan had a huge Thursday night with 70 points from Wilson, Carson, and Kupp, and then 35 from the Eagles defense. Duncan had 46 from Will Fuller V. But much like Fronik last week, 6.6 points from his wide receivers. I don't understand how you can win and still do that. That doesn't make sense. And he's 5-0. What the hell? Duncan has to sit Jacoby Brissett, who's on a bye, and we almost get to see the full death squad, but T.Y. is on a B.Y.E., and he is also going to be without Evan Engram and Chris Herndon, who he ended up picking up for $6. So Jordan is hurting for some tight ends out there. Is this the weird kind of break that Duncan needs to get up to 6-0?
It might be. I feel like he's already gotten plenty of breaks. I was very surprised to see that Engram was out. And then did you see how Herndon got injured?
I saw an alert that was like he was just running routes in practice or something.
Yeah, he was running routes on Friday by himself, apparently, and like tweaked his hamstring or whatever he's hurt. Which is pretty funny.
It
was on Friday, so like the Jets knew about that, and that somehow it just came out after Jordan spent his $100 on him. But that was kind of comical.
That's so shit. just trying to put some work in, and oh no, I'm hurt. I'll play. Oh, I can't play. This is very bad.
Yeah, that's what getting suspended, I guess. He's off the juice.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, watch out for your bodies there. The steroids will really break you down after building you up.
Yes, but looking at Jordan's team, I watched a majority of that Broncos game, unfortunately, just because it was like the only afternoon game on. I didn't think Melvin looked that good, but the Chargers are clearly wanting to get him involved now that he's back. So he'll keep getting touches. I think it might take him a couple weeks to get back up to speed.
Yeah, I kind of figured that would too, because, like, you know, you can train all you want in the off season and you can do all these camps and running in the sand and whatever, but it does actually take some time to, like, get back to used to, like, being hit all the time and people wanting to rip your head off. So I figured it would be a slower start. Maybe getting back home will kind of help. I actually gave up on watching football on Sunday afternoon because I just hate so much when the NFL has, like, almost a full slate of games, and they're just like, yeah, we'll put every single one of them on in the morning at 10 o'clock. It's like, why? Like, I don't want to have to watch like one football game in the afternoon or spend the entire Sunday watching Andrew Siciliano like just go through and talk about the same three games over and over again because both of them are at commercial. Like, it's just like at least have three or four in the afternoon slate every week just to make the red zone more interesting, because I watched some of the Packer Cowboy game and the Packers ran away with it and I just turned off football. I was like, I'll come back for Sunday night maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get how that happens. I mean, I'm sure scheduling NFL is quite difficult, but you'd think at least spreading out the times wouldn't be that difficult. This happens every single year.
I don't know. Yeah, like, and I've talked about it with Steve, too, and he's just like, oh, it's all the people back east. Like, they all watch 60 Minutes live, and they don't want to have football to preempt 60 Minutes because there's a bunch of old people. I'm like, no, it can't be that. Like, there's got to be something else. It just, like, it can't be, like, four, like, this week there's four afternoon games, and that's super exciting. There are more teams playing out on the best coast, but, like, still the Giants play at night, which kind of help, which is weird because the Giants are playing on a Thursday, so you think even the Jets could play Sunday morning at 10 like you would normally think they would, so this is all very weird. I'm not sure what to make of any of this.
No, and then it hasn't helped that I've had all shitty Monday night games, and the Thursday night games haven't been good. They don't have any good primetime games in a while.
No, the NFL, they really bank on the quarterback matchups, and then like one quarterback gets hurt. Like last year when Jimmy G went down, and then the Niners were on primetime like four out of the next 5 weeks, and it's just like, fuck.
That was the worst.
Just, I don't want to have to watch bad football. And, like, they only got flexed out of, like, one of those games. Because, like, NBC can't, like, flex every single week the best game to Sunday night, which they should be able to. And this week's Sunday night game should very much be Washington-Miami. But, like, Yeah, the primetime games have been poo-poo.
Yeah. I mean, I personally enjoyed watching the Niners on Monday, but I imagine most of the public did not enjoy watching a blowout like that.
No, probably not so much. Anyways, back to the teams. Duncan's rolling with Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, and Will Fuller's now made it up from his flex to wide receiver three spot as Emmanuel Sanders is questionable. Mike Evans, we've got the poll with him and Chris Godwin, who's going to be the higher-ranked receiver. Godwin got a huge jump on that last week. Is there, like, way too many question marks on Duncan's team, I guess, kind of within, like, not necessarily long-term the whole season, but within the next couple of weeks that maybe he should try and sell on these guys or make a move? Because all of them seem to be just trending down.
Yeah, I mean, he does have some pretty big-name receivers. You'd think he'd be able to get something in return. It's just tough. And obviously, Will Fuller went bonkers last week, but he's always so difficult to trust. And then Evans, yeah, I mean, he unfortunately always gets matched up with the lockdown corner, so Godwin always has the easier matchup and clearly has a chemistry with Winston. And then you probably know better than I do, but Ridley's also tough to trust. It seems like I'm pretty sure Sanu plays more snaps than him. He's pretty hit or miss.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not using his speed, or they're using him on, you know, the opposite side of the field as Julio, or putting Julio in the, or just doing something else with the offense. Like, I don't know enough about football offenses to say here's exactly what you should be doing, but whatever's been going on, like, last year was kind of like with the booger eater Sarkisian, it was kind of getting better, but I still didn't trust everything he was doing. And this year it's just been like a full on regression. And, like, you know, Matt Ryan's been kind of bad, but, like, he shouldn't be this bad to the point where he's just overly trusting Julio in the offense, which is totally cool. And, like, I'm glad Julio's getting his receptions and his yards and he's checking down to Hooper. Like, I've enjoyed that part, but I'm not enjoying the offense just, like, constantly just, like, being shit.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's stats look good, but, yeah, when you watch him, there's just, yeah, it's hard to pinpoint. I don't know what it is, but something is just completely off with that offense. They can't do anything with Freeman, and then even when they're down big, they just, I don't know, they have, like, no rhythm. It's hard to explain.
They're bad. They're just straight up bad.
Yes, they are. Do you want Quinn to be fired?
I don't want him to be fired, but I think he's going to get fired because he explicitly took over the defense, and the defense has been the one part of the team that did not get better. And like, that's not a good thing when you're the head coach and you take over the defensive coordinator job, and then like you're just kind of failing at both. Like, it, I know, like, there's been a couple injuries and stuff, but like, still, like, the scheme is not going well. And I think like a lot of former players are tweeting it and like they're talking about it, and they're just like, it's a soft zone and you can beat the zone and you can just pick it apart by, you know, finding the gaps in it, and that he just won't change. And they rush like three on third down, and I think there was another one of those like next gen things. It was like, it's like a 3rd and 15, and they got guys 19 yards back, and they're just like, we can give them like 10 or 12, and then we'll get them. You know, then we'll really have them trapped. You know, we got them right where we want them. It's like, oh, it's another first down. That's lovely.
Yeah. I forget where I saw it, but you're going to hate it, but I love it. That the Falcons gave the wrong quarterback, the wrong coach, and the wrong running back to the Niners.
Oh, man. I do miss Tico, and I think, I don't know what they would have had to have done to keep Shanahan, because they would have had to been like, okay, we're demoting Dan Quinn to defensive coordinator, and we're gonna hire Shanahan, which Quinn wouldn't have stayed at that point because you're firing a head coach or whatever. Like, it wouldn't have gone. But oh god, if Shanahan had stayed, god, that offense would have been good.
I love Shanahan so much.
He knows offense so well. Who do you got in this matchup? Jordan is a 3-point favorite, 52% win probability. The team is the Death Squad is looking really strong.
Yeah, even though he's starting Jordan Atkins at tight end and Hardman, if Tyreek Hill and or Watkins are back, it's going to hurt him. But I think even with that, his stars are going to be enough. His running backs, and then and Cooper Kupp's going to go off, and Odell has a pretty decent matchup too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Jordan here as well. There's just something about those wide receivers where on Duncan's side, I think they need to be a little bit better. They can be better. They, you know, possibly have some matchups where they should be better, but Jordan's got the way more trustable guys, a lot of high floor guys there.
Yeah. Also, I can't go without saying happy birthday to George Kittle. So hopefully he has a good game.
I'll be sure to tag him in the tweet.
Yeah, please. HBD. He just turned 26. We're older than him.
That's gross. Now we're getting to that point where like a lot of the guys that we really like and like are super like our favorite players are fantasy studs, and we're just like, we're older than them. Like, that's weird.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said that. My bad.
I think, oh god, Deshaun Watson is 24. Man, that's not okay. Oh no. God. Okay, our last matchup of the week. Luke, the perfect 5-0 against Brandon, who is 1-4. This was almost winless versus undefeated. DeOcean Jackson versus Mike Reykjavik. It is that time for the Mountain Men Bowl. Brandon got his first win of the year last week, who beat the Smelly Butt team of the week, so that's always a fun win. Still had a solid 130, thanks to Josh Jacobs having a big game. And you, Luke, had another highest scoring team of the week with 160.9. Your big week from Michael Thomas. Matt Bread put your matchup to bed on the first carry of the night. But this week in the Mountain Man Bowl, Luke, already a 61% chance to get the win, more than a 24-point favorite, mostly because Brandon's got to ride out that Steelers sack that's being buoyed by Devlin Hodges, who is, in fact, a real person. What horribly, horribly bad things would have to happen for Brandon to win this week?
Dude, Devlin Hodges, most passing yards in NCAA FCS history. So.
Oh, you took my fun fact.
Oh.
He broke the record of that's one of the main things I prepped on, was reading up about Devlin Hodges and his hometown of Kimberly, Alabama.
Dude, that is the same thing.
Oh no!
3,000 people.
Oh yeah, he broke the record of the late Steve McNair, 3-time Offensive Player of the Year in the Southern Conference, and then Kimberly, Alabama, with now an estimated population just over 3,000.
And it's 96% white.
Oh, that was my next one. Did we read the same Wikipedia page?
We must have. I don't know anything about the guy, so I needed some sort of fun facts, and those are pretty much his only two.
Man, yeah, my last one that you didn't take, didn't officially become a city until 2010 when it finally got over 2,000 people.
I did not know that, but he's also an AWL. This isn't a part of my take, so there's that. So he must be a homie.
All right, cool. Devlin Hodges, a real person, and we both had the same fun facts. That's not very fun.
But yeah, I'm hoping he isn't particularly great. But I guess it would also help because he has the Chargers defense, which I was going to ask you about. It's kind of hard having your first and second round picks going up against your defense. It just seems like you're limiting your upside a little bit. But the Chargers against a third string quarterback is obviously a good play.
Yeah, like I'm guessing if there's – I think what you're banking on is there just being a lot of interceptions – and that a third-string quarterback is going to stick to either we're going to run the ball a lot or we're going to throw it to our number one guy. And so if you've got, you know, the number one ball carrier and the number one guy, like, it'll still work out. Because really the thing that kills you is when points start getting put up. And if you're getting touchdowns while your defense is giving up points and you get them at the right time, like, technically the swing is in your favor. Kind of, if that, I think that makes sense. So maybe it'll work out, but I think in the, like, you know, if you just need points to get points, then, you know, get a couple for an interception here and there and just hope that, you know, I guess even if Connor or Schuster fumble, it's like, it's a net gain or it's, yeah, net positive win-win or whatever. Zero sum cost or whatever the term is, because you get the points back anyways. So zero sum game, yeah. That's what it is. So it, yeah, it's fine. I think you've got a good defense that's, you know, good defense taking on a bad team with pretty okay schedule as well, because Tennessee's offense isn't all that great, and then Chicago's offense isn't all that great either. So you could ride this out for a couple weeks with the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they could easily get a touchdown, and even if they gave up touchdowns to Connor, he wouldn't care. It'd be 6 points. So, yeah. I think it might limit your upside a little bit, but I don't disagree with it at all. They're probably the second best defense this week besides the Patriots.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Who else does he got here? Robert Woods is a wide receiver one because he's got – you don't think he's actually going to sit Juju, right? Like, that's not why he moved him to flex. It's more of a – why did he move him to flex? That actually doesn't make sense to me.
He probably just put Gordon at receiver since he's playing Thursday. He didn't want to lock up this flex spot. And then, yeah, I mean, if something, somehow Smith-Schuster got hurt, it makes sense. Just not having Gordon in there. I don't think it'd make a difference if it was McLaurin or Smith-Schuster, but it does look kind of funny.
Yeah, it looks like he's not super it looks like he would be willing to, like, actually sit Schuster for the week.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know what the algorithm is, but I've heard you mention it once or twice. I've tried, like, maybe 20 times putting Dalvin Cook at wide receiver at running back one, and it never lets me.
It
drives me insane.
I know, because, like, I've even tried it, too, where, like, I move everybody onto my bench, and I save my roster, I close the web, like, I close the browser, I go back to it later, and then I try and, like, reorganize everybody by the way I want them there, and they just won't let you do it. They're just like, he's the second guy you added, he's your running back, too.
Yeah, I don't know what the algorithm is. It's obviously not alphabetical, and I draft, I have no idea what it is, but it drives me insane that I can't put him at the top just for my weird OCD tendencies, but that's another story.
How have you enjoyed so far Julio Thomas and Ertz, the trio of guys last year that I couldn't actually play together?
Yeah, your boys. It's been pretty good. Julio slowed down a little bit, but he was a great matchup this week. And I was just hoping Thomas could be like a wide receiver too with Breeze out, but I think he's been dug wide receiver too, which has been a pleasant surprise. And obviously he'll be great again when Breeze comes back. So that's been very nice.
Yeah, to have a guy whose worst week is 13.9 and he's still got into the end zone, or if he doesn't, he's getting up to or close to 100 yards. Like, that, it's so nice to have a big volume guy like that who can actually take on a number one corner and then perform really well.
Yeah, especially even with his backup. I mean, Teddy just loves throwing to him, which I enjoy.
It's not bad, that's for sure. You've also been running with the flip-flopping of Matt Ryan and Dak Prescott. Are you going to basically do that until Mike responds to one of your trades for either one of them? Do you have a preference? Because you've also got Michael Gallup, who's a pretty solid number two option, passing option in Dallas. Or do you want to just try and stick with a very wide receiver one quarterback stack?
Yeah, it did kind of work out that whichever quarterback I put in, I get a nice little stack. I probably prefer Matt Ryan, but the way their schedules have matched up, it's been pretty nice. Whenever Dak has a tough matchup, Ryan's had a pretty easy one. So in a pinch, I usually rely on Ryan, but especially this week, I love the Falcons matchup this week.
Yeah, hopefully they're somewhat competent enough to be able to put up points on Arizona. But, oh God, if they let Kyler Murray run around and, like, rush for a couple scores, or David Johnson goes crazy, or just, like, Kyler Murray, of all people, is able to exploit the secondary, like, Dan Quinn's going to have to walk home.
Yes, if they lose this game, he's in serious trouble.
Oh, it'd be so bad. So I think we're both taking you. I think that actually makes us 6-for-6 agreeing on all of these picks here. Which probably best. Yeah. Good luck to everybody that we picked against, because you're probably going to win. It's like the game day curse. Long term with Brandon's team, and this will kind of segue into segments as well. Long term with Brandon's team, is there a lot he could do to make his team better? Because he's not looking so good. He was the last team to get a win. He's slightly higher scoring than Scott on the season, theoretically should have a better record. Brandon is the one that should actually be preparing some jokes for stand-up.
I've liked the moves he's made. I liked the Brady trade. I liked getting Josh Gordon. The McLaurin pickup was great. I think just the most simple one would be kind of what we were telling Tim all year, how he has Jacobs and Waller and then Connor and Schuster. It's tough to trade the Steelers now just because their value is pretty low, and you don't want to sell too low on your first and second round pick, but I don't think that would be the most obvious one. It's trade one of Connor Schuster, and then I think he's okay with Jacobs and Waller now that they're past their bye, but I know Connor and Schuster have their bye next week.
Yeah, that's going to be it's an okay team. Like, I think Fronik's team, if Fronik makes a move, I think that's going to put a lot of pressure. If Fronik can make the right move, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Brandon to probably also try and fix something. But his is more of just like, yeah, like you said, like who can he get in return for, like, who's going to take a rookie running back, or who's going to take a guy who's playing with a second or third string wide receiver or quarterback as a wide receiver? It's really, like, both of these teams are in really bad spots because you kind of know what they need to get for help, so you're trying to kind of get a little bit extra, but it's a lot of game theory going on.
Yeah. I don't even know who I would choose, but, like, I feel like even, like, Connor for Eckler, I feel like would sort of make sense. I don't know. Maybe they would both say no to that, but I don't even know. I feel like that's sort of comparable.
I think with Fronik, it's too. It's one of those trades where you're thinking, "Oh, both teams won, so that must mean I'm getting a bad deal," and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. He would send him this fourth string running back for Connor,
or Hawkinson, or something. Wayne Gallman again.
Yeah.
So that actually brings us to your favorite thing to do every single year is to go through and you compile a bunch of stats, you do a bunch of analysis and a bunch of math, and then you come up with implied records of teams based on their total score and how they would have done if the schedule had bounced a different way, essentially. So explain the math on what you've done here.
Yeah, so I know some really competitive leagues actually do this. So they do the scoring by hand, where you would each week you get a max of 2 points. So if you win, obviously you get a point, and then if you score more points in a majority than half of the league, you get another point. So if you're the highest scorer, you're 2-0 that week. Or if you're the stinky butt, then you're 0-2. Just to balance out some of the luck. I'm not at all implying that we should do that. I'm just saying that there are leagues that do that, and this is just sort of putting those numbers onto the paper. So just showing, I put it onto the Facebook group if people want to look at it. But there's I just put your numbers if you played against all 11 other teams. How many would you beat, and how many would have beaten you? So if you're 6-5, then you would have beaten a majority. And if you have if your number is highlighted by green, that means you would have beaten less than half of the league, but you won. So you got lucky, and then red is the opposite, where you should have won, but you lost.
Okay, so like Tim had the second highest score of the week in week 4, but he lost to Fronik, who had the most shocking high score of the week ever. So Tim in week 4 would have been 10-1. And then also in week 4, you would have only beaten 4 teams that week, as opposed to if you had played, you know, anybody else, you possibly could have lost. So you got, I guess, lucky there. Duncan has 2 lucky weeks. Last week he would have been 5-6, and then another he went 2-9 in week 2. Did he like barely beat the Smelly Butt or something?
I can't remember if that was. I forget who he beat, but yeah, he scored like 90 something and won. And then even one of his wins, 6-5. I mean, he barely won. So he's been. I mean, he's still. I still think he has a really good team, but him being 5-0 is pretty fortunate at this point.
Yeah, because when you do these the implied records, you get only 2 1-4 teams who are Brandon and Scott. 2 4-1 teams with you and Jordan, and then everybody else is just kind of stuck right in the middle, which is more or less what you expect from especially our league, where it's just a whole bunch of teams with the same record, and it just comes down to like points scored at the end of it to decide like spots 5, 6, and 7.
That's what our league usually looks like, especially at the beginning. It's usually no separation at all. I don't remember this kind of separation ever this early in our league. Looking at Tim has had the craziest season. He's been the most up and down that I can ever remember.
He's
literally
God.
Been either the top 2 scoring teams or the bottom 2 scoring teams every single week.
Oh, man.
It's wild.
So, quite literally.
Destroyed or gets destroyed.
Quite literally boom or bust.
Yeah, there's no in between. That's wild.
So
something has implied both because he's had 2 massive weeks, but other than that, he's been terrible.
Oh, man. So that I guess if you were to average that out by the end of the year, that would put him dead in the middle, and he's the most normal team ever, right?
Yeah, but then, I guess him particularly, he's had such low-scoring weeks that it's really lowering his average score. I mean, look how much lower he is than everybody around him just because he's had a couple weeks in the 80s, I think. That just kills your average.
Wow, yeah, because looking at it Tim's way, to go from almost Smelly Butt to almost high scoring to Smelly Butt to I lost when I was the second highest scoring team to an almost Smelly, that's got to be exhausting. I couldn't handle that. Like, I'd much rather, like, I'm very much stuck in the middle. Like, I had the one good week and, all right, cool, I'm done. And I've just, like, I've gotten blown out and I'm like, all right, it's 10:45 and I lost. I'm over it.
Yeah, no wonder he's just stopped responding to text, and he just goes and whatever he does in the middle of the desert instead of watch football.
Gamble, probably. Keep up with that, and then we'll maybe throw him out on the Twitter, or keep posting him on the Facebook page as the weeks go along, because it is always kind of interesting to see how you do against everyone else, especially if you're Tim, where you're thinking, God damn it, why didn't I play anybody else this week?
Yeah. I posted this, the Google Sheets, to the Facebook, so it'll be updated whenever I'm updating it. But yeah, I think it's a good to see what how you stack up to the rest of the league. Like, I don't know if Duncan probably won't change anything because he's 5-0, but he might think to himself he's getting a little fortunate. Maybe he makes a move. I don't know.
Maybe. What segments do you got for us?
I just have one other one. I have a Plaxico.
You got Plaxico'd.
This one goes, this is a multi-week for Jared. You kind of referenced it earlier. He has probably one of the deeper benches in the league, which is nice when bye weeks come, but he has, it also is just brutal and a pain in the arse when it comes to start sits, and he's really killed himself this year. I'm sure he's painfully aware, but I thought it was interesting to see how, so the last, 3 weeks, week three, he started Montgomery, who got 9 points over Philip Lindsay, who scored 27. And then he started Tyrell Williams over Aguilar that week. Everyone on the Eagles was hurt, and he scored 19, and he lost by 9. He would have won by, like, almost 30. No, he would have won by 20. And then week four, basically his entire lineup was awful. I think he scored, like, 80 points or something, but none of his receivers or running backs besides David Johnson scored more than 8 points. And his bench, he had Landry had 20, Sutton had 21, and Williams had 11. And then this last week, cost himself directly a loss where he started Montgomery over Lindsay, and Lindsay outscored him by 12 and he lost by 7. So he easily could have had 2 more wins if he just started Lindsay over Montgomery, which is pretty brutal.
You got Plaxico'd.
He's got to hate that, right? Like, because Jared is very much the guy of, like, I draft my guys, I stick with my team. He's made all of, what, 2 trades, if that? Maybe 1 trade, like, ever in the last 4 years. Like, he's very much like, I stick with my guys, I'll make a waiver wire play every now and then. But so I can see why he'd be like, damn it, David Montgomery, like, you're my RB2. Like, I picked you up, or I draft, or what did he do? Oh, he was a part of the trade. With the Dalvin Cook. So, like, I'm sure he's hurting on that part, too, where he could have been like, could have had the RB1. Instead, I'm stuck with you, David Montgomery, and I'm going to keep playing you until you figure it out. So it's not, I mean, a little bit of stubbornness, but also, like, just kind of not necessarily seeing or believing, or I'm sure he's scared that, like, Royce is going to have a big week the next time that he plays Lindsay, which might happen. I mean, it is always kind of a fear when you've got a multiple-headed backfield.
Yeah, I'm sure he's very aware of what's going on. But, yeah, I don't know what his hesitation has been with Lindsay. It's just the two of them. Where Montgomery, there's 3 running backs in that offense. And, I mean, neither offense is good. But at least Lindsay has some sort of a big play potential. And not all, like, I think one of the weeks Montgomery's playing against the Redskins, so I don't blame him at all for starting him. But
the R words,
definitely
please.
Been the R words. Sorry about that. It's definitely been a little bit of bad luck, but I mean, it's also been some questionable decisions.
No, we're gonna have to get him on the pod and have him talk about that because there's no way he can like that he's like straight up cost himself 2 wins because of like 3 lineup changes. There's no way Jared's gonna be happy about that.
Yeah, and just. I mean, the wins themselves, but then also all the points he's leaving out just for if there's a tiebreak or anything, he'd be pretty high up there even just if he added those like 60 points he left off the bench.
It's always big, yeah, especially with everybody basically being kind of good or really bad. You're going to need some separation at some point or another. Anything else?
Yeah. I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. Thank you for coming on this week and going over the 6-pack of matchups. Always appreciate it. Best of luck to you in your matchup this week, I guess. And well, to Katie, to setting your lineup for your matchup this week and you with the wedding planning and all that. So thanks for coming on the pod, and we'll talk soon. Good luck this week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Semi-Products Podcast. Be sure to tune in to KGN 590 or 95.3 The Score Friday at 3 o'clock for Bi-Mart's 3 and Out, hosted by me, getting you ready for Oregon, Colorado, a Friday night football special.
Follow the podcast on Twitter at SemiProductsPod. Do your part to get this oddly specific podcast Twitter account to over 50 followers. Then follow the link to our iTunes page where you can subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, give a 5-star rating, and review. Subscribe, rate, review.